Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, let's look again at the two verses we're discussing. Where these verses help describe the transcendental nature of the body of the Lord and how the Lord appears in this world by the spiritual mode of goodness. And if he didn't do that, then people can only speculate about him. And even removing the influence of the other two modes would leave just material goodness. So the two verses. Sattvam vishuddham shrayate bhavan stitao sharirinam shreya upayanam vabuhu Veda kriya yoga tapak samadibis tavarhanam yena janak samihate sattvam na chedatar idam nijam bhaved viganam agana vida pamarjanam guna prakashayur anumiyate bhavan prakashate yasya chayena vagunaha. Okay, translation. O Lord, during the time of maintenance, you resort to the pure mode of goodness. When you appear in this way, you bestow all good fortune upon the living entities by teaching them to perform Vedic activities, such as ritualistic ceremonies, mystic yoga, austerities, penances, and ultimately samadhi, ecstatic absorption in thoughts of you. Thus you are worshipped by the Vedic principles. O Lord, cause of all causes, if this pure mode of goodness were not your own consciousness, then the process of removing ignorance would only be another material realization. What you are can be inferred from seeing the phenomena of the material modes, which are derived from you and made visible by you. Okay, now we're on 10:20. Katam bhutam vapuhu Shreyasam Sarvesham Purushartanam Upayanam Ashrayam Nityananta Paramananda Rupam Ityartaha. What is my body like? Krishna asks, or Narayan asks. Answer, it is the means toward the shelter, the means toward, or rather the shelter of, all aims of life. The words are, in the verses are, Shreya Upayanam Vabuhu, in the first verse, first half. Shreya Upayanam. So Upayanam here is glossed first of all as Upayanam. Means toward. Am I right about that? Upaya means means. Does upayanam also means means in the dictionary? Upayana? Can someone look? Means for success? Okay. But there's a gloss on that. That's the word is Shreya Upayanam. The gloss given by Jiva Goswami is Ashrayam. So the shelter of all aims of life. I guess all the aims of life reside within the body of the Supreme Lord. then, in other words, its nature is eternal, unending, supreme ecstasy. The nature of the body of the Lord is eternal, unending, supreme ecstasy. Nitya Ananta. Nitya means unchanging. Ananta means having no end. You can think of the end at the end. You can also think of the end at the beginning. So Ananta can mean no end on either side, no beginning or no end. And in the between, in the middle, it doesn't change. So it's Nitya. Paramananda Rupam. Eternal, unending, supreme ecstasy. Ato vabushas tava beda nirdesho yam alpacharika eveti bhavaha. Thus it is implied. The distinction we make between your body and you is only figurative. There's no real difference between the Lord and his body. Sometimes we're looking at his body, sometimes we're looking at other aspects of his personality. His feelings, his activities, his relationships. But he and his body actually aren't any different. They're just varied. Body is one of his varied aspects. Various aspects. So it's figurative to say, to talk about the body and the Lord who has the body as two different things. That's only metaphorical. Ta eva, yena vapusha, yad vapur. Do you not mind that I'm breaking up the translations with my own comments? Okay, that sort of protects us from the copyright violations. If we record it and distribute it, it won't be exactly the text of the book. Those who want to steal the book will have to pick apart the text from my comments. Ato vapushas tava cha beden. Oh, I said that already. Ata eva yena vapusha yad vapur alambanin aiva janas tavarhanam pujam koroti. And so it is that by this body, by resorting to this body, yad vapur alambani naiva, people honor you. Tavarhanam, janas tavarhanam, and then arhanam is glossed as pujam. So they honor or rather worship you. Kai sadhanaich vedadibis Twadalambakayar ityar taha. Sadhanais Twadarpitayar eva tadarhana payata siddhav. Api vapusho napeksha twat. By what means is the question? Well, that should be in quotes. By what means? By the Vedas and so on. Vedadi B. The verse says, does the page up work? Veda kriya yoga tapak samadhi bis. It's a big dvandva samas. By all these, by Veda, kriya, yoga, tapa, and samadhi, they do your worship by these means. Who does this jana? People. Vedadi bi? By the Vedas and so on, which have their foundation in you. Since your body depends on nothing else, even in facilitating the worship of you, executed mostly with means made available by you. Your body depends on nothing else, even in facilitating the worship of you. So the Lord is worshipped. What do you worship him with? All the ingredients of worship come from the body of the Lord itself. They're worshiping him in his embodied form, and the body provides the ingredients for the worship. That's described in the Purusha Sukta of the Rig Veda, that the first yajna performed by Brahma and the other demigods, Deva Akalpayan, they arranged, the only way they could perform a sacrifice at this beginning of the creation, when nothing else was available, had to use the limbs of the body of Garbhodakshai Vishnu as the paraphernalia for the sacrifice. Everything, including the mantras, not just the physical things, but the mantras and everything, come right out of the body of Vishnu. Originally, the Vedas are the breathing of Narayan, of Mahavishnu. So all the Vedas themselves, the mantras, because a sacrifice must be performed using not only physical paraphernalia, you must have mantras also. You can have all the tools, of everything ready for the sacrifice, but if you have no mantras, you cannot perform it. You have to have the mantras. The mantras also, the Vedic mantras themselves, come from the body of Vishnu. Okay. Commentary. The Vedas teach the inhabitants of the material world how they can revive their relationship with the Supreme by various means, including ritual performances of his worship. Even though many demigods are honored by the Vedic hymns and sacrificial offerings are made to Indra and others, it is the Supreme Lord as the Yajna Purusha, enjoyer of the sacrifice, who is ultimately being worshipped. Yajna vai Vishnuhu. The sacrifice is Vishnu himself. That's the Shatapatha Brahmana, 111. And although various items found in the world, like milk products, wooden spoons, and bricks, are used as offerings and implements, the original source of all the ingredients is the body of the Lord. As described in the Purusha Sukta of the Rig Veda, when Brahma and the other demigods were preparing to perform the first sacrifice, the still unmanifest universe could not provide any of the required ingredients. Lord Garbhodakshai Vishnu therefore supplied everything needed out of his own body. Yat purushena havisha deva yagyamatanvata. The gods evolved the sacrifice by offering the Purusha himself as the oblation. That's Rig Veda, 10th Mandala, 90th Sukta. 90. Okay. Hare Krishna, 10:21. Do you want me to, while you're up, could you get some more water? 10:21. Tadrisha vapuk prakasha hetu twaina tasya vishuddha sattvasya subhatmakam spashtayanti. The speakers of these verses, who's the speakers? Yeah, who are they speaking to? Of Devaki. The speakers of these verses now clarify how this pure goodness's being, the cause of such a body's manifestation, how that indicates that the mode belongs to your essential self. Okay. The body of the personality of Godhead is manifested by pure goodness. That's supposed to be a proof or a reason to show that that mode of pure goodness is Swarupa Bhuta, belongs to the Lord's internal nature. It's not something separate from him. Okay, and what they... Then next they clarify this, I guess in the second verse. And the words are, He datas ched yadi idam sattvam yattava nijam vijnanam anubhavas Tvadatmika svaprakashika svaprakashata shaktir ityartaha. tam nabhavet tarhi tu agyanabhida svapakasha shetavanu bhava prakara eva marjanam shudhim avapa. The demigods, they say, O Creator, this mode of goodness is your own consciousness, personal experience. The word in the Sanskrit is vijnanam. And the gloss given by Jiva Goswami is anubhava. So I said, consciousness means personal experience. This mode of goodness is your consciousness, your personal experience. In other words, it is the energy of self-illumination comprising your consciousness. Illumination doesn't just mean physical light. It means the revealing of something to a conscious being. So the Lord is aware of himself. He's aware of others. He makes himself aware to others. This is his energy of self-illumination that does that. Swa prakashata shakti. There's prakasha shakti, but there's swaprakasha. You can be aware of something, but greater than that is to be aware of yourself. Animals have consciousness, but they don't have developed self-consciousness. They don't know who or what they are. They have a crude understanding that they belong to one species and some other animals are not the same species. But they don't have understanding of their true identity, swaprakashata. But the Lord's consciousness has this energy that illumines himself. He's self-aware. And that energy is his Vishuddhasattva. Okay, I already read the Sanskrit. If it were not so, if this goodness were not your consciousness or the energy of your self-awareness, then the means of breaking through ignorance, namely the process of realizing you, the self-manifesting Lord, would become reduced to its most basic state. Okay. Suppose you broke through illusion. You developed your consciousness through the material mode of goodness to see beyond all falsities. What would you see? Well, if the Lord didn't have his body, if he didn't show himself using spiritual goodness by which he sees himself and others can see him, then even those who become self-realized, even those who come to material goodness would only see just that, the material goodness. They wouldn't be able to see any spiritual nature. If he didn't show himself, they'd never see him. And if he didn't impart unto them this energy of revealing him, if he didn't empower the living entities to see him, they wouldn't be able to see him. Okay. Saiva jagati paryavasiyate natu tavanu bhavale sho pityartaha. That is to say, it would amount, that means self-realization, the living entities becoming self-realized through the mode of material goodness, would amount merely to realization of this world. Not to even the slightest extent any actual realization of you. Nanu, Krishna's Narayan is putting forth a Purvapaksha. Nanu, prakrita sattva gune naiva mamana bhavo bhavatu tim nijine tyaha prakrita guna prakashayar bhavan kevalam anumiyate natu sakshat kriyata ityartaha. But realization of me may be had even through the material mode of goodness. What need is there to stipulate my own goodness? So he's arguing, material goodness should be able to reveal me. What do we need another spiritual goodness? Okay, that's his question. The answer is, through what is revealed by the material mode of goodness, you can only be inferred, not directly perceived. By the material mode of goodness, the Lord can be imagined. He can be assumed to exist, but he cannot directly be perceived. There's that statement in the Brahma Samhita. Pantastu koti shatavatsa dasam pragamyo vayordatapi manaso munipungavanam sopyasti yat papadasim yavachinta tatwe govindamadi purusham tamahambhajami. The yogis and the gyanis who are taking shelter of the material mode of goodness are pursuing the Supreme Lord. They have some concept that there is a Supreme, and maybe even that the Supreme is some sort of person. And the yogis are chasing after him at the speed of the wind by drilling the respiration, by pranayama exercise. They're chasing after the Supreme at the speed of the wind. And the gyanis are using their minds. They're chasing after him at the speed of the mind. Speed of the wind is pretty fast. The speed of the mind is much faster. At the speed of light, it takes you four years to reach the nearest star. But at the speed of the mind, you can go from one end of the universe to the other almost instantaneously in your dreaming. So the speed of the mind is even faster than the speed of light. But the gyanis chasing the Supreme Absolute Truth at the speed of the light of the mind cannot connect with him, cannot actually directly perceive him. So Pyasti Yepapadasim Yavichintra, he remains inconceivable, even though they almost reach him. The yogis and the gyanis, the most successful of them, those who are in the front of the race, they almost touch the tips of his toes. Or actually, they're just perceiving the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, the effulgence surrounding his toes. And they almost touch him, but not quite. So he's not direct, he can be imagined, or maybe there can be some realization of his effulgence, but he cannot be directly perceived by the material mode of goodness. Continuing, atava tava vigana rupam agana bidaya pamarjanam. These words are there in the Krishna book. Viganam, what is it? Viganam agana bidapa marjanam. Prabhupada quotes the actual words in the Krishna book. Sorry, I lost the place. Atavatava vigana rupam agana bidaya apamarjanam. Chayan nijam satvam tadyadi nabhaved navir bhavati. Tadaiva prakrita satvadi guna prakashayar bhavan anumiyate. Twan nijas satvavir bhavena tu sakshad kriyata evet yartaha. This is an alternative explanation. Let's see if this is any different. The thing to try to identify when an alternative explanation is given, sometimes it's not clear what's the difference. If the alternative explanation sounds exactly the same as what it's an alternative to, then either it wasn't translated right or we're not reading it right. So let's see. Or alternatively, if there did not exist, rather appear your own mode of goodness, because the mode of goodness always exists. It's not a question of it not existing at any time. But let's say exist means appear. Bhaved is the word in the verse. And it's being glossed as prakashyati, appears. That means appears in this world to us. We can see that spiritual form. If there did not exist or appear your own mode of goodness, which is a form of pure consciousness, and which cleans away ignorance, bidapaborjanam, then you could only be inferred by what the material mode of goodness reveals. Whereas by the appearing of your personal mode of goodness, you can be directly perceived. Okay, I guess the two different interpretations. One is that if you didn't have such an energy, if there wasn't such a thing, if the spiritual mode of goodness, Vishuddhisattva, didn't exist, and there only was material goodness, and the absolute truth didn't have any modes or qualities, then self-realization wouldn't be complete. People, even with the mode of goodness, would have no access to you if you didn't have a spiritual mode of goodness. That's one interpretation. The second is, if your mode of goodness didn't reveal itself in this world, then people can only guess what you are. They couldn't actually perceive you. If the Lord doesn't actually make his appearance, he may have his mode of goodness in the spiritual world, but he has to come to this world and manifest his avatars. Otherwise, we here in this world will have no definite way of knowing him, no information. That's the second interpretation. First one is if the Vishuddhisattva didn't exist. The second one is if you didn't show the Vishuddhisattva in this world, Nabhaved. Okay. You got something? Yeah, please.
Sanskrit here says, here it is, Prakrita Satvari Guna Prakashaihi.
Where is it?
It's in last
yes,
paragraph.
Yes, yes.
And it looks like in the translation that Adi is missed out. Because gunas are in the plural here, so by material mode of goodness and other, other modes.
What's the sentence translating it?
Then you could only be inferred by what the material mode of goodness reveals, but actually it says here material modes of goodness, etc.
Okay.
That's why the plural is
where's
there.
That sentence? I'm sorry.
The end of the translation?
Oh, okay. I wasn't looking at the or last paragraph. I had the last paragraph cut off the page. Material mode of goodness, and the Adi is not translated.
Yes.
Okay, I have to make a comment in this file, which is not mine, but uh-oh, where's it go? Krishna. I supposedly inserted a comment, but it didn't show up. Control shift, yeah. Really? Oh, here's the comment. BRD5. I'm sorry, hold on a second. Adi not translated. And I'll just highlight it so I'll know it's mine. Okay, we continue. Just give me a second. There's a commentary here. Factual realization of the personality of Godhead can only be had by a mind and senses that are perfectly tuned to pure spirit. If God's body were material, even the most subtle matter, perceiving it would not amount to transcendental perception of him. That makes sense. If the Mayavadis were right, and the body of God was something material, then perceiving the body of God would not actually be full self-realization. It would just be a material perception. It is by exhibiting himself in the medium of Vishuddhisattva that he enables renascent, oh boy, that's a fancy word for souls who have woken up, renascent souls, like renaissance, the waking up, to see past the limitations of conditioned awareness. So those who claim to have darshan of Radha and Krishna, who claim to have actual taste for relishing the hearing of the pastimes in Radha and Krishna, they're lying. They're hypocrites if they have not perfectly tuned their mind and senses to pure spirit. If their mind and senses are to some extent still tuned to matter, then they are not honest in claiming that they've seen Krishna or that they have a strong taste for hearing about Krishna. That's not possible. Factual realization of the personality of Godhead can be only had by a mind and senses that are perfectly tuned to pure spirit. To tune yourself to pure spirit, you have to tune out the matter. Okay. Continuing, 10:22. Tadeva spashtayitum tatranu mani dvai vidyam ahu yasya gunak prakashate yena va gunak prakashata. Those are both phrases in the second verse. Iti. To make this more easily understood, they describe the twofold method of this inference about him. Okay. In relation to whom the mode is manifest and by whom the mode is manifest. So we're talking about material mode of goodness. You can deduce the existence of the Supreme by with the help of the mode of goodness. And the logic is, it's in relationship to the Absolute that the material mode of goodness can be manifest. And the mode of goodness, what it manifests is the Supreme. Sattvam yad brahma darshanam. Sattvam, by which you can have some insight into the Supreme. Let's explain further here. Asvarupa bhutasyaiva prakrita sadvadi gunasya twad avibhichari sambanditra sambanditva matrena va twareka prakashamanata matrena va twalingatvam ityartaha. In other words, well, let me continue. There's a comma there. Ityartaha. Yataruvnodayasya suryodaya sanidya lingatvam yata va dumas yagni lingatvam iti tata ubayatapi tavasakshatkare tasya sadaka tamatva bhavo yukta iti bhavaha. In other words, the material mode of goodness, which does not belong to your essential being. It's not. It's asvarupa bhuta. Material goodness is asvarupa bhuta. That mode of goodness can serve as a logical indication of your existence. How? Two ways. Either in terms of its being unfailingly connected to you, or else in terms of its being manifested exclusively from you. Yasya gunak prakashate, and yena va gunak prakashate. This is paraphrases of those two phrases. The mode of goodness is unfailingly connected to you. And the mode of goodness is manifested from you and from nothing else. This material kind of goodness is thus not the most effective means of bringing about direct realization of you. Irregardless of in which of the two ways it leads to inference of your existence. Irregardless of in which of the two ways it leads to inference of your existence. Either, and then two analogies were given. Either in the way dusk is a logical sign of the sunrise being near, or else in the way smoke is a logical sign of fire. Let me see. The dusk is always, wherever there's dusk, there's sunrise. The dusk isn't produced by the sunrise, no. And the dusk doesn't produce the sunrise. It's not a relationship between the dusk. Uh-oh, dusk is the wrong word. It's dawn. It should be dawn. Dusk is when the sun's setting. Hold on a second. I wonder if I caught that. This is not the final version that I'm looking at here. I wonder if I caught it. Okay, let's try the dawn instead of the dusk. The dusk is a logical sign of sunrise. The dusk doesn't cause the sunrise. The sunrise doesn't cause the dusk. It's not a logical relationship. But it's a relationship that they're always together. The dawn, always occurs 48 minutes before the sunrise, about 45 minutes before the sunrise. You can know. If you see a dawn, you know that the sunrise will happen in about 45 minutes. And if you see the sunrise, you know you were sleeping through the dawn. You missed it. They're always connected together. That's what the terms of being unfailingly connected. The mode of goodness is always, if there's a mode of goodness, there must be a supreme. If there's a supreme, there must be a mode of goodness. Anyway, they're always together. And also, there's a causal relationship, like the relationship between smoke and fire. Fire causes smoke. If there's smoke, there must be fire, because smoke is produced by fire. So there must be some fire someplace. If there's a mode of goodness, there must be a supreme from whom it was created. Everything's created from the supreme, and everything exists only in connection with the supreme, never completely separately. Okay, then ending up the Sanskrit. Tad evam aprakrita sattvasya tvadiya svapakashata rupatvam yena svapakashasya tavashakshatkaro sakshatkaro bhavatiti stapitam. It is in this way established that your transcendental mode of goodness is a manifestation of your self-illuminosity, by which quality of self-illumination one can perceive you directly. Manifestation of your self-luminosity, swaprakashata, swaprakashasya. Okay, commentary. Those not yet attuned to Vishuddha Sattva because of lingering attachment to material goodness can still use their understanding of that sattva to know the Supreme Lord indirectly by logic. They can use two different lines of argument. First, the material sattva they are familiar with must originate in and belong to some cause of it. That cause must be beyond matter, because there is no mode of material nature higher than the sattva gun. Second, the material modes, although also connected with the Supreme as their original source, are not eternal, alive with consciousness or pleasure feeling. They do not know themselves or make themselves known as living beings can. In the words used in the demigod's prayer, they are not self-luminous. They don't see themselves and they don't show themselves. The material elements. The material sattva-guna, therefore, can only be perceived by a higher illumination, which is the self-illuminating power of Vishuddha sattva. Okay. That's interesting. We think, in terms of material science, that material objects have the power to show themselves. It's true that light bounces off the table, and therefore I see a brown shape. It reflects on my eyes. But there's more to it than this process. If the supreme, if the super soul didn't empower my consciousness, I still could not perceive it. The light rays would be bouncing around, but I would be dead. I wouldn't be conscious. I wouldn't be perceiving. The perceiving living entity has to be empowered to receive the perceptions. So it's not just the power that the material energy has power to show itself. It doesn't. The perception of anything is only possible by empowerment given by Vishuddhisattva, not material goodness. Material goodness is inadequate to even reveal material objects. Okay, I think that's a mouthful. I think we'll stop there. Okay. One or two questions, maybe? Yeah.
In the argument which is used in the commentary, that first the material sattva they are familiar with must originate in, belong to some cause of it. And then it proceeds to say that there is no mode of material nature higher than the sattva guna, therefore it should originate in some transcendental.
Well, it has to originate from something.
The question is here that we know that...
Unless sattva guna is God, you know, it's this prime cause of all causes, it has to have a cause.
Like we know from the cosmic expansion, description of cosmic creation, the third canto, that the original mode of this material nature is not sattva guna, it's ignorance, it's tamas, because the false ego belongs to tamas, then everything springs from there, including the material mode of goodness. That kind of cancels out this argument, does it? Because...
You're saying tamas is the origin of goodness.
It's what Srimad Bhagavatam says. Ahankara is the prime underlying principle, and everything right, springs from there.
I don't know.
Even sattva guna springs from there, it looks like.
I don't think it's actually that the mode of goodness is the cause of the mode of goodness is the mode of ignorance. It may be the mode of ignorance manifests primarily in the material world. In fact, it doesn't manifest first. First manifests the mahatattva. In the mahatattva, there's some... In the pradhana, there's no imbalance of the three modes. They're completely equal. In the mahatattva, there begins to be an imbalance. That's what makes mahatattva different than pradhana, that there's imbalance in the modes. But first there's predominance of goodness, then of passion, then of ignorance. So ignorance only takes over third. It's not the origin. Ignorance is not the origin of material creation.
But even taking that argument, that the pradhana develops that imbalance when it's impregnated by a glance of Mahavishnu, which is also surcharged with the Shambhu principle, which is like the original ignorance and nationalism. So then it brings about the imbalance. So there are three components.
It's not. But Shambhu is not the cause of creation. He's just a passenger. He's just carried by the glance. He's not the main active ingredients of the glance. It's the power energy of Vishnu that impregnates Maya, not the energy of Shambhu.
Yeah, that's true, but as far as I remember from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura's explanation, it's the energy of Shambhu which makes the material world act in a sense of in
yeah, but Shambhu, in ignorance and Shambhu embodies all three modes.
Yeah, but he represents the mode of ignorance.
Mode of ignorance is prominent. Mode of ignorance is predominant in the actual material creation. You know, in the manifest material creation, tamas is prominent, yes. But it doesn't mean that tamas is the original cause. That sattva is created by tamas. How can you argue that sattva is created from tamas? Where do you see that described? What process of that happening do you see?
Well, on Shiva's own admission in Brihad Bhagavatamita, in your translation, the first canto of Brihad Bhagavatamita, he says, I am the root cause of material creation, and I am the original false ego, I am tamas,
yes.
And therefore I cannot have anything to do with pure devotional service, so please don't
approach me. Who's talking?
Shiva.
Okay. Actually, we're arguing over whether sattva arises from tamas. Actually, neither is the cause of the other. They're both original components of material creation. The pradhana contains all three. Neither of them have to become created. They're created from Vishuddhisattva. The material modes don't create each other at all.
Or then maybe in this commentary, if this
so
is...
So that's the problem, is that there's no other mode that can be the cause of sattva. Now, to be a cause, according to Nyaya Shastra, you have to exist previously. The cause has to be there before the result. That condition is not fulfilled, because all three modes enter at the very beginning of creation, in the glance. So there's no prior existence of, there's no cause that can exist prior within the material realm. So you're going to have to look for the cause before the glance, outside the material realm. In the material realm, the sattva is there from the beginning, so nothing is there before it. So nothing can be its cause.
Thank you very much. That makes perfect sense.
I think that answers it.
I was just confused with the statement here that because there is no mode of material nature higher than the sattva guna, because that puts a kind of a causal relation between
it's
them.
Really not a question of being higher. Is that the real argument is that there was nothing that existed before it. Can I make a note? Please bear with me for a second. This is an important point, and I should mark it. Better than arguing that there's nothing higher, that there's nothing previous to it. Okay, let me just make a short comment. You know, previous is a better argument than higher.
Even though there is a statement in Bhagavatam that the sattva guna is higher in terms of God realization, in that famous comparison of the...
Right, but that's not talking about causation.
That's not talking about causation, that's true. That's true.
Causation is a matter of previous existence that isn't explained otherwise.
Right.
The potter is a cause of the pots. If the potter isn't there first, you can't have the pots. It's not the pots first and then the potter comes the next day. The potter has to be there before any pots. And there are many other causes, like the clay is an ingredient cause. The stick is an instrumental cause. Without the stick, he can't make his pots. Well, okay, all those things meet the criterion that they have to be there before the result. But there's also the potter's donkey. He has a donkey that he brings to work every morning. The donkey is always there before the pots are made. But he has nothing to do. The donkey has nothing to do with making the pots. He's there to carry the dirty laundry. Yeah, so therefore, the previous presence of the donkey is explained otherwise. Anything that has to be there before and whose presence is not explained for some other reason, that's a cause. All right. Okay, anything else? Yeah. Yes.
To ask you a question regarding how the Lord maintains his devotees by the mode of goodness of passion. Well, you may not have it on that computer, though.
Mm. What is it?
Oh, there was a statement by... It's in the... You may want to look it up in the Bhagavatam. It's in... is it? Just a second. Yeah. Looking 10:13:50.
Yeah, well, that's an as though. That's a poetic description.
That's why I'm asking why that description is made, because there should be something corresponding to it. What is the cause that makes Krishna passionate? In
well, there is no passion and ignorance in him.
Right.
But there are wonderful potencies exhibited by what is it? The two things, what seems to be passion and what seems to be ignorant?
Goodness.
Okay.
Goodness and passion.
But it's not really manifestation of the material modes, but it's a manifestation of his the varieties of his spiritual energies that poetically are equated to the material modes. It's an ironic metaphor, because there is no trace of material modes in the body of the Supreme Lord. But just for the poetic drama, it's being spoken of as if it was manifestation of passion and ignorance.
Can we say, based on this analogy, that Krishna is passionate about maintaining his devotees and supporting them?
Right. And what is he ignorant of?
No, there's no ignorance here.
Yeah, okay.
He's ignorant of their offenses. Because
I see. Yeah, something like that, yeah. It's just poetry. Okay, we'll stop here. Jiva Goswami Ki Jai.